I don't think Trump is a real Bitcoin. I don't think he believes or understands Bitcoin at all, other than perhaps that he's going to use it in order to save the dollar.
We still have on-ramps. You can buy Bitcoin, you can buy hardware wallets, you can run a node, you can do all of these things. If you just make the determination that that's what I'm going to spend my time focusing on.
Obviously, the Samurai case, it's really unfortunate that they're pleading guilty. It definitely sets a bad, you know, precedent in terms of what has happened and what could happen into the future.
So if you don't want to keep funding this for the rest of your life, you need to opt out. It's very simple, man. Like I said earlier, Bitcoin in self-custody, the dumbest, most simplest solution to all your money problems is right there.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Tony is here and we've got Adam Semeca back. Gents, let's jump in here. Alrighty, up first, we have the absolute nothing burger of the White House Digital Assets Report. They basically said the same thing that they said on day one, especially when it comes to the Strategic Reserve. They are going to look to develop strategies that could be used to acquire additional Bitcoin for the reserve. Nothing material. I thought kind of the whole point was they were going to say, here's sort of our plan moving forward. Maybe I misunderstood, or maybe they're just dragging their feet and don't want to do anything. Tony, why don't you take this one first? What do you think this says about Trump's view of Bitcoin and digital assets?
I'm not surprised at all, man. I mean, I don't think Trump is a real Bitcoin. I don't think he believes or understands Bitcoin at all, other than perhaps that he's going to use it in order to save the dollar, which is what I think like the master plan is. And that ties well into this whole genius act with the stable coins, because they're going to like they need Bitcoin to go crazy price wise, because, you know, they'll use it as the escape valve where all the money will go. Once the money printer goes on like full throttle, they don't want to debase the dollar against like real estate or food for that matter, because, you know, then you're going to get, you know, more than half the country with pitchforks and guns coming at them. So that can't happen. So where's all that, you know, money going to go that they are absolutely going to print? It has to go somewhere. So Bitcoin, gold, you know, all of these assets will probably be the ones that absorbs them. And since Bitcoin is the one that, you know, rises the most, they want to see it grow. So if you are one of those number go up dorks, well, you know, that number is going to go up really, really fast, because it's by design at this point. It's just a question of when they do it. And I don't think it's going to take very long. So that's what I think. And the fact that nothing came out of this report, I said this during our last banter, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So Adam, we had Greer Hall on our last banter, and I was giving him a hard time in a chat privately. He had predicted, because of the Trump media buying like $2 billion worth of Bitcoin or something, that there was going to be, they were front running, and that there was going to be something significant. Doesn't look like there is. Did you have any prediction on this? Are you surprised at all by what's happened here?
I'm not surprised at all. In fact, to a couple of my friends, I sent a text that we were talking about because they announced that they were going to be putting out some communication on this, and everybody was all getting excited. And I was like, guys, it's going to be nothing. I said, it's just going to be talky, stable, coiny, crypto talky. Thanks. Bye. I think that's a pretty good summary of what they actually ended up coming out with in the report. But so needless to say, I wasn't surprised that they basically gave us the exact same message that they did a few months ago. But, you know, I see this as, you know, kind of a good thing. I think the longer we go, a lot of people are obviously anticipating the United States to start dipping their toes into accumulation. It may or may not have already happened. I don't know. But I think the longer we can go without that announcement, I think the better for Bitcoin, just overall. That's just a personal opinion of mine. I'm not a huge fan of the government stacking sats, so to speak. You know, I'd rather the Bitcoin be held with personal citizens. But yeah, I wasn't expecting much to come out of it.
Yeah, Adam, that position is why we like you. Okay, so we've got a memorandum that came out from the DOJ. I'm not sure if you're seeing this. It looks like it's my screen froze. But basically, what they've said is that they're going to stop this enforcement, or rather, they're going to stop prosecuting people who are involved in sort of privacy-oriented services, and that the DOJ is going to wait for laws to be passed to determine, and they're going to go after more overt stuff, like the Samurai case is an example. Promising. I mean, I think this is the right direction. At the same time, you know, who knows how serious they will take this. We'll have to see if we have another Samurai type case come up. And then actually, let's just look at this next one here. The Samurai developers have decided to plead guilty, which was big news just a couple days ago. I would be curious, Adam, to hear your thoughts on what's going on in this particular case.
Yeah, let's talk about the first one first. So there was a lot going around the media over the last 24 hours or so regarding the previous subject we were talking about, because in that White House report, they mentioned that they were basically going to be targeting privacy services. But this kind of contradicts that a little bit. It's a little bit older. This was a DOJ article from April of this year. But it, I think, hopefully reinforces some of, or at least alleviates some concern, because they're basically saying, and this is the subject of this memorandum, was ending regulation by prosecution. And so where we had kind of this Operation Choke Point 2.0, as we know it, under the last administration, it seems like they've done quite a 180 on this. So the DOJ, of course, for anybody that doesn't know, is who actually enforces the law in the United States on a federal level. So the folks that are actually going out and doing the prosecuting are now saying, hey, we're going to basically focus on real crimes. If you happen to do something that intersects with some type of financial privacy thing, as long as you're not, you know, overtly doing something illegal or detrimental to the industry, we're going to focus on real crimes that are being committed rather than just trying to make examples out of people that are trying to maintain privacy. Yeah. So, and then obviously the Samurai case, it's really unfortunate that they're pleading guilty. You know, it definitely sets a bad, you know, precedent in terms of, you know, what has happened and what could happen into the future. Now, I don't think legally speaking, since they made a settlement, I don't think that, or a plea deal, I'm sorry, since they took the plea deal, I don't think it legally goes into what we would call case law. Not an expert on the subject, but since it didn't actually go through trial, there's a limited amount of, precedent that gets set by this case. But it is sad that this had to happen. I'm kind of bummed about it myself, but I'll leave it at there. Tony, what do you got on it?
Yeah, same sentiment, man. For me, it was disappointing. I mean, on one side, I understand, you know, that for them, they want to go on with their lives and, you know, don't need to be wrapped up in this forever. But at the same time, you know, that'll open up a whole other can of worms in terms of questions, you know, like what were the motives, what were the reasons, especially after all of this time. I'm taking a wait and see approach. I mean, I don't trust the DOJ and I don't trust the US government either. So let's see how things actually play out before trying to make assumptions here. All I know is that the two systems are not compatible. You know, privacy is a God-given right for every one of us, right? But certain bunch of people don't seem to believe that, or at least believe that it applies to them and no one else. So how these two worlds are going to coexist is going to be very interesting. But Bitcoin will win in the end, in my opinion. I'm almost 100% sure of that, because you can't stop it. You know, it's like just one of these things, one of these ideas whose time has come. And once the genie's out of the bottle, it's game over. You like it, you don't like it, too bad for you. So, but in the meantime, they can make your life, you know, a little miserable and hellish until, you know, you cross, you know, the point of no return, which I believe we are headed towards. So hold your Bitcoin in self-custody, opt out, you've already won. Anything outside of that, yes, you're going to lose sleep every night. You're going to be stressed. Your anxiety is going to go through the roof. You don't have to. Learn 6 or 7 new steps. Your life automatically goes into Zen mode.
Couldn't have said it better. So back to the digital assets report for just a moment. So one of the findings was that they have these concerns now about what they're calling the primary money laundering concern with digital assets. And so it sort of makes me feel like maybe
the DOJ and the White House are not on the same page, right, with some of this stuff. And to your point, Tony, like I wouldn't trust what the DOJ say, even though what they're saying is obviously good. We're going to have to see how they define enforcement by prosecution versus waiting for laws, because what they've basically dinged the Samurai devs with is something like they did not violate the law. Like I looked at what they'd what they were ultimately getting them for, and it just doesn't apply. So now we've got the White House, who still has this concern about money laundering, which they obviously can't stop anyway. They've done a terrible job even prior to Bitcoin stopping money laundering. I'd be curious just to hear if you think that the White House and the DOJ are going to sort of resolve this seemingly conflicting issue that they have, or are we just going to be used for another 4 years?
I think this is all theatrics. I mean, it's like there's no left, there's no right, there's one team, and this is no different as far as I'm concerned. Like I said, it's like the system cannot allow a free, decentralized, censor-resistant platform, peer to peer, to win. They just can't. So the attacks against it are going to come. Now, how fast they come, that's another story. But as they lose, progressively, that's when you're going to see the attacks starting to increase. And I expect them to. But they won't go anywhere. Like, you cannot stop peer-to-peer technology. You just can't. What you can do is impact the off-ramps. Like, if people want to, go back into dollars and what have you, yes, then they'll screw around with you there, block you, make your life a living hell. But if you opt out completely and live, within the Bitcoin ecosystem, which is thriving, by the way, and it is growing, then you don't have to deal with any of this. So, but you need to have people understand this. And that comes, by doing the work, reading some books, watching some videos, just learning in general what Bitcoin is, and that it's not an investment to make more dollars. Too many people still believe in that. Too many people invest in Bitcoin treasuries. Too many people put their money in ETFs, which is complete rubbish and like the complete antithesis of what Bitcoin was for. So you want to win in Bitcoin? It's the dumbest, most simple thing. You take your Bitcoin, you put it in self-custody, you opt out, and you never, ever look back. There's nothing they can do to stop you from holding your money and transacting peer-to-peer. No matter what they say, it's all fear-mongering. Understand the tech, and this becomes like, cemented in your head, and life goes on.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the reality is we still have on-ramps. You can buy Bitcoin, you can buy hardware wallets, you can run a node, you can do all of these things. If you just make the determination that that's what I'm going to spend my time focusing on, all of the other noise, it just really doesn't matter. Like you just sleep peacefully at night knowing that there's nothing that they can do about it. Adam, I'm curious how you sort of view the tension that seems to exist now between what the White House is talking about, what the DOJ seems to be saying their marching orders are.
Yeah, and if you would have asked me this question back in April when the DOJ released this memorandum, I would have not thought anything of it, because I felt like the White House and the DOJ were kind of in lockstep. But I don't know. I feel like something happened over the last few weeks and months. I feel like the administration that we had in the White House for the first 6 months were, one administration, and then it just something changed. And I feel like a good example of that is the view and the tone around the Epstein files and stuff like that. Trump's campaign, a primary part of that, people voted on him because he said he was going to disclose the Epstein files. And he was very, seemed to have been an advocate for it for a number of months. And then all of a sudden his tone completely changed. And so I think this is kind of just part of that. It seems to be like he was riding the wave of the voters that, Bitcoiners, he was appealing to folks like us. And he was just trying to make that appeal for votes. And it seemed like he was going the right direction for the first 6 months or so. And then I'm starting to see a lot of things that just make me question that, whether it's, his cabinet members in the administration or, the official reports that get put out like this. It's not the same tone from my viewpoint. Now, With that said, back to Tony's point, Bitcoin does not require permission from our government, from anybody's government, from anybody else. You can use Bitcoin right now without anybody else's permission. The only thing a government can do is ban themselves from Bitcoin. They can't stop you from using Bitcoin. They can't stop you from using privacy services. What they can do is they can attack privacy services that, you know, are ran by people inside of the United States, so they can go after software developers. Tony, you mentioned exchanges, on-ramps, off-ramps. So if you're converting to fiat at some point, you know, those are choke points for the government to attack. And they can certainly do that. And, you know, it will have some detriment to Bitcoin and the ecosystem inside a particular country, but it doesn't stop Bitcoin as a whole.
Yeah. It's funny. I was just showing my kids' Tuttle Twins video yesterday, and they were talking about civil disobedience, Rosa Parks. And I was explaining to them that some laws are stupid. And that doesn't mean you necessarily have to pay attention to what a bunch of tyrants are telling you have to do. So they're learning young. Alrighty, up next, so off of that topic, we've got some sad news. We see this sort of thing a lot. A woman lost 4.35 Bitcoin, about $250,000 worth, after purchasing a preloaded cold wallet from a now defunct shop. You know, it seems like we hear stories like this, you know, in this vein very often. Tony, the self-custody guru, the master, could you just sort of lay out for people, like, what's the right approach to thinking about self-custody, ordering hardware, all of that stuff?
Yeah, this is heartbreaking to read, man, but the lesson is very simple. If you don't know what you're doing, just don't do anything. Ask a professional or someone who knows a little bit more than you before you actively take steps, and certainly before you drop $250,000 into some unknown product. You never, ever buy preloaded hardware wallets. You know, and we're very strict on so many criteria around this. And this is like a rookie mistake, unfortunately. There's so much ignorance out there, and everyone is so desperate to get rich quick. And everybody believes that somehow they can figure it out. No, you can't just figure it out, especially if you don't come from a tech background and have at least, you know, the mindset to think a certain way so that you can sort of, like, you know, filter out what looks legitimate from what is clearly, you know, a scam. My heart goes out to this woman. I mean, 250 grand, that's a lot of money. Hopefully that wasn't her entire life savings. But again, the lesson here is, if you don't know or you're not sure, don't act. Like, don't just jump in head first blindly hoping you get it right. Pick up the phone, call someone, do a little bit of research. There are plenty of experts. I mean, clearly this is why we exist. But, you know, there's plenty of other options as well. Just don't do anything, you know, like willy-nilly.
The bitcoinway.com/podcast for anyone looking to come talk to our team. Am I crazy, or is 4.35 Bitcoin like 450 something thousand? Am I losing my mind?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Four and a half Bitcoin?
I read the tweet and it said about 250,000.
No, four and a half Bitcoin is way more than that. It's around over 400.
Okay, I think maybe they meant to put 450,000. Adam, I know you talk about self-custody a lot. I'm sure you agree with that. Any other thing you'd add to that?
I'll just say this is an absolutely amazing advertisement for the Bitcoin way. I mean, yeah, like the other two gentlemen said, if you're in a situation where you just don't know what to do, reach out to the Bitcoin way or somebody else in the space. But this is what one of the primary reasons why the Bitcoin way exists. So if you don't know what to do, contact somebody who does before you do something, especially with that amount of money. Many such cases. I don't think this is ever going to end. I mean, just because of the nature of Bitcoin, it allows you to do things. It allows you to take responsibility for your own destiny. And sometimes it doesn't work out. And so again, I think, you know, this type of thing is going to continue into the future. It is sad when it happens, but the alternative to that is these things happen no matter what, no matter in every scenario. The only difference between this system and the other system is the other system spreads the losses across all the taxpayers. Okay, so when a bank messes up,
When somebody gets money stolen somewhere, they hit the print button, and all that does is dilute the taxpayer purchasing power. You know, so the loss still occurs, but instead of it just affecting the one person that made that mistake that needs to own up to that responsibility, now it affects everybody. So I think this is definitely the system that I want to live in, and I think that it's more honorable, it's more equitable, it's certainly more open and free to everybody, and it's just much more fair.
Yeah, I guess maybe my final point would be, if you hear these stories, don't let it scare you. Like, self-custody is still the promise of self-sovereignty. So don't let it scare you. Like, these are mistakes that are very easily avoidable if you're talking to the right person. Like, I have zero fear of any of these sorts of mistakes. I don't have to worry about phishing attacks. I don't have to worry about any of the things that you hear about that, you know, other companies use to promote as, you know, basically they use it for fear mongering. So just find the right professional, do it the right way the first time. Alrighty, guys, more out of the UK. They are, man, banks to withhold payments of £800 and above for 24 hours up to 4 days between private individuals. Crazy time. I'm talking to Daniel Prince here after we get off of this. I'm having him back on the podcast. I want to get his take on the sort of what he's feeling in the UK. I'm sure he's spending less time there these days, but you know, this is just such a disaster. You guys, I'll let either of you guys comment on what you think and maybe reiterate the importance of Bitcoin and self-custody.
The UK is going to be the next Lebanon. These are the signs that clearly point to it. So this is just a different flavor of what happened in Beirut. In Beirut, they started with the restrictions of the credit card limits. Every other day, they drop it and drop it and drop it before it hit zero, and then they completely stopped working. This 800 now locked for 4 days, and it'll go up for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And before you know it, there's no sending money anywhere. And before you know it, there's no access to anything. So if I had to make a prediction, I believe UK citizens are about to lose their entire savings, and the banking system will collapse in the same way that Lebanon did.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm curious, Adam. I asked Ben Werman on this. We had him on Bitcoin Banter, I think last week, and we were talking about the UK because it comes up all the time. To me, it almost feels contrived. Like it feels like, you know, controlled demolition. Would that be your base case, or are they just completely clueless?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly can empathize with that and relate to it. From my vantage point, it certainly looks like it. I have a hard time believing that, just because I don't know, you know, any of the motive behind why they would do something so stupid, but they just keep making stupid decision after stupid decision. The UK is cooked. I mean, did you guys see the Coinbase ad that came out this week making fun of the UK? Oh, it's bad.
No. If Coinbase is making fun of the UK, you know things are getting bad, because we spend most of our time making fun of Coinbase.
I think it was like a 2-minute video of basically like how everything sucks in the UK and how they're just okay with it.
I saw so Eric Voorhees, he has an AI LLM, Venice, and I saw that in the UK, you can't have a free account. Maybe it's for certain, like under the age of 16 or 18 or something like that. And I have my issues with Eric, but yeah. They had like a funny, like, learn more about, like, you know, the tyrants running your government, with like a link to, like, you know, to explain what was happening and everything. It's completely bonkers. I just don't even know what else to say. Gents, we got two more. Let's jump into these quickly. So one, Tony, this was, you retweeted this. So there is a fake Sparrow wallet, a mobile app for Sparrow wallet. Sparrow does not have a mobile app. Could you maybe just briefly explain, like, what Sparrow is, where you would download it, and why this is something that you need to avoid?
Yeah, absolutely. Sparrow is a very popular and very, very good Bitcoin only wallet but it exists for desktops only. It exists on all platforms, Mac, Windows, Linux, but there certainly is no mobile version of this. I'm very surprised Apple just let it, you know, slip into the App Store, considering how many users, you know, have access to this. But again, it comes down to, you know, lack of knowledge. It's so easy to sucker in people in this space, because it's brand new. Like, the world has never known something like crypto before, right? I mean, so And most people just blindly click because that's, you know, what they've accustomed to be doing, you know, for forever. So why not download, you know, a Bitcoin Sparrow app? Looks cool, easy enough. And before you know it, the money is gone and people start crying. So please, when it comes to Bitcoin specifically, if you've never done anything or don't know anything, just pause. Don't act. Ask a question. Reach out to the Bitcoin way or some expert that you know and just ask them, you know, if this is legitimate or not, especially if you're keen on putting money. Otherwise, stay away.
Yeah. It feels like a lot of this banter has been like an ad for the Bitcoin way. We don't usually do that. We have a lot of like self-custody challenges that people are dealing with right now. So it is important. I think maybe I would just add to the ad for the Bitcoin way here. Like, this is the benefit of, like, not only will we help you get into proper self-custody, but then you also have like a sounding board. You can, you know, you ask questions, you can follow up with us on these sorts of things before you do anything Bitcoin related. Adam, you've got your own Bitcoin mobile wallet. As someone in that space, do you have anything you'd add to all of this?
No, obviously I'm pretty biased about my own mobile wallet. So
shill it.
Mana, if anybody's interested, M-A-N-N-A. It's a Bitcoin wallet. It's primarily focused on spending. Now, it doesn't replace what we're talking about here, which is really, you know, layer one cold storage, which is kind of like what you may think about when you're thinking of like a savings account, right? This is your nest egg, you know, your net worth, right? So if you're wanting to store a lot of value into the future with the most reassurances, this is where you would use cold storage, layer one. Mana is not that. Mana is like your checking account. So it's certainly a safe place to keep funds, but for, you know, massive life-changing amounts, we still certainly advocate and promote for layer one cold storage. I don't recommend doing any of that necessarily on your phone. And that's just because phones are hackable. You don't necessarily know the security behind the app that you're dealing with, which was the case here in Sparrow, the fake Sparrow app. What self-custody really comes down to is holding on to your own keys. But it's not just that. It's also making sure no one else has your keys. And so both of the big issues that we talked about here on this episode with the preloaded wallet, and then also with this case, somebody using the fake app, somebody else had their keys. So the whole point of self-custody is making sure that you have your own keys and that no one else does, which just basically means you're not putting it in on an app. You're not using somebody else's keys that they already gave you because they already have the keys. And so it's really not that difficult, but there are some crucial steps that you have to make sure that you take when you are taking self-custody to make sure you're doing it safely.
Yeah, well said. All right, guys, last one just for fun. Let's make this one short. But so Trump was, you know, blasting Powell for the renovations at the Federal Reserve Building, going to the millions of dollars. And then the White House announced a brand new 90,000 square foot ballroom that will be enjoyed for generations to come exclusively by the rich elites who occupy the White House. And Tatum said, shout out Doge. Great response. Tony,
Make Doge great again, baby. You know, bring it back. 90,000. Like, what the hell are they celebrating, man? It's like, you know, this is like, what's so special to run such a huge party for? The whole country's falling apart and they're, you know, expanding a ballroom of all things, you know, but it just shows the hypocrisy of that entire system. It's all one team, right? So, you know, theatrics on for the public, but behind the scenes, it's like, all right, what do you need? You need a ballroom? No problem. What do you need? You need, you know, 17 other bathrooms? No problem. What else do you need? You know, it's like, it's all bullshit. So if you don't want to keep funding this for the rest of your life, you need to opt out. It's very simple, man. Like I said earlier, Bitcoin and self-custody, the dumbest, most simplest solution to all your money problems is right there.
Adam, what do you think? Tone deaf?
I actually don't. I think Trump and Powell are best friends. I think what we see on the news and in the media, it's all kayfabe. It's all theatrics. They're seeing what they want us to see, and they're trying to make a point. I think that, you know, I think that Powell is getting scapegoated in order to make a point, a political point. Obviously, I think they're both on the same team. They're both doing the same things, you know, in terms of Trump and Powell. So it is funny, though, because we see this as, you know, hypocrisy. You know, Trump walks in and starts poking at Powell for spending a bunch of money on the facility, and then he does the exact same thing. It's just kind of funny. That's just politics, yeah. Though.
I agree. Adam, why don't you give everyone a handoff where they can find you and learn more about Mana?
Yep, I'm at Adam Semeca on X. If you're interested in the wallet, it's at Mana Bitcoin on X as well, or manabitcoin.com.
Awesome. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. Learn a bit about the Bitcoin way. We'd love to help you avoid all of these sorts of mistakes and issues that so many people that we've discussed have had related to self-custody, but really appreciate you tuning in. And gents, thanks for being here. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.